Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We'll begin today with the deadly consequences of toy guns and efforts to get rid of them from the streets of Boston. Last month, police in Brockton killed a man who pointed a toy handgun at them. And last year in Ohio, 12-year-old Tamir Rice was playing with a toy gun when he was shot to death by a police officer. Boston Police Commissioner Bill Evans says something similar happening in this city is our worst nightmare.
That's why Evans and several local clergy members are calling on retailers and manufacturers to stop selling toy guns. They're also asking parents to take them away from their children. And we're joined now by Commissioner Evans. Commissioner, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We're also joined by Reverend Mark V. Scott. He's associate pastor at Azusa Christian Community in Dorchester. Reverend Scott, welcome to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So first of all, Reverend, let me just start with you. You had a rally today on this issue. What did you call on from the community, and what did you call upon manufacturers and retailers to do?
Well, certainly we think manufacturers and retailers should not make and should not sell these guns. They're deadly. It's very hard to conceive of how anybody could even imagine or want to make such a thing, much less sell such a thing. You can buy it at Sports Authority, I understand, and you can certainly get it online. So that makes no sense at all. So we're making that call. Obviously, they're making a lot of money. They may or may not respond to our request. But what we're saying to the community is, you have the power, the ability to stop this right now.
Now, Reverend, if I may interject, and forgive me for interrupting you, but when you say the guns are deadly, these are toy guns we're talking about. So you're not, not themselves, but the consequences.
The consequence. If a it almost happened in this city last night in South Boston.
Mm-hmm.
We had an incident earlier in Roxbury, earlier this year. So it's a toy, but it's a toy that could result in the death of a child. We've already seen that in Brockton, and we've seen it in Cleveland. So it's a deadly toy.
Mm.
It's not really a toy.
And you were calling on the community to try and not give these toys to children.
Don't buy it. If your child has it, take it away. Don't assume that you know everything your child is doing. Check a backpack, check a room, ask. And this is something, without waiting for the manufacturer to do the right thing, Senator Foray talked about the possibility of legislation. That's great. But without waiting for that process to work it out, we have the ability in the community to do something about it
immediately. Well, Commissioner Evans, let me ask you from the perspective of Boston police officers, how frequently do they encounter these toy guns, while out on the beat?
Well, I think last year we confiscated about 250, and already, into this year we have over 100. And, it's just real scary, with everything going on around the country, what happened in Cleveland. Our job's tough enough that we don't need young kids running around with weapons that, our officers have no clue real or not, and these young kids are pulling them out like they are toys, but our officers don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
We worked hard in the neighborhood to make the neighborhood safe. I think we took over 1,061 real guns off the street last year, 300 this year. Last thing we need in the mix is these toy guns out there that some young kid is either going to get shot by maybe a gang member who might see it and think the wrong thing, or even, heaven forbid, one of our police officers.
Right. So this leads us to what I think are some of the deeper questions about why you're calling for this, the retailers and parents to not give these toys to children. Because it was, late April when a certain incident happened. Sergeant Henry Staines from the Boston Police Force in Roxbury, he was actually filmed by a passerby after an incident in which police had surrounded a teenager who had a toy gun, but officers weren't sure of whether or not it was real. And Sergeant Staines was filmed by the passerby as, waving the toy gun in the passerby's face, and that video was captured and then put out then on the internet, and we have a little clip of it, so let's listen.
What is that?
This is why we're here.
And I don't know why you're here.
Close video of this. See that?
Yeah.
See that?
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
Well, so Officer Staines was basically told that he didn't handle the video of the situation. He didn't handle the situation possibly in the best way. But Reverend Scott, what I wanted to ask you is, doesn't that moment kind of exactly typify what you're talking about, that sometimes there's just an inherent level of uncertainty and perhaps even danger in the neighborhoods themselves that make for situations where a tragedy can happen?
Well, you know, in that case, the officers exercised, you know, really amazing restraint. We are thankful that what resulted from that was a video clip and an apology.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't rushing out because a young child had been shot by a Boston police officer, and the kid had a BB gun. So we're thankful for the restraint that the officer was able to show, and then the ability to apologize to the citizen who was exercising his right to be able to videotape something like that.
Yeah.
But that is the we could have had a real tragedy in the city on that incident. We could have had one last night.
Well, and Commissioner Evans, let me ask you, I mean, this leads me to wonder, I mean, at the time, Sergeant Staines, you had remarked that it's a disturbing video, but he should have dealt with the situation better. Is further police training when it comes to uncertainty of whether or not they're dealing with a real or a toy weapon, especially when teens or children are involved, is that part of the solution here, too?
Well, in the academy, I mean, I think you'll see, you know, we use such restraint. These incidents, unfortunately, are playing out every night in a lot of our neighborhoods where last year I said 1,061 with real guns, where obviously we could have had the right to use deadly force. We're highly trained to use it as only a last resort. So I think that's why you're seeing, you know, thank God that no one's overreacting when we see these guns out there, because, you know, we're highly trained only in the... And I always say, as a last resort, would we ever want to fire? It's the hardest thing we do. We've had two tragedies, obviously, with, you know, the John Moynihan, where we had to take a life, and obviously with the terrorist, you know, potential of a terrorist attack up in Rosendale. And again, our officers have to live with the fact they took a life, but clearly in both cases, they were clearly warranted in those cases. But we're highly trained, and hopefully we recognize a young kid, and we'll always think, you know, twice about having to use deadly force.
Yeah. Well, so we should note that right now there is regulation that says that toy guns, whether or not they look realistic, should have some kind of orange marking on them, but oftentimes those are removed or painted over. And so, you know, a lot of times it is difficult to tell the difference. So that has actually led to bans on realistic-looking toy guns in other cities, such as Philadelphia and Atlantic City. And we talked a little earlier with Lieutenant James Sarkos of the Atlantic City Police Department. He was one of the people behind Atlantic City's ban. And he said that the ban did help get some fake guns off the street, but he also added this.
It's not 100% effective. The law enforcement officers still have to try to make a determination in a matter of seconds whether or not this item is indeed an imitation firearm or a real firearm. So, you know, we tell our officers, don't even think about the ordinance. You know, you respond as you've been trained.
Commissioner Evans, I mean, we're hearing Lieutenant Sarkos there saying officers shouldn't even think about any ordinances or bans. Just continue to respond as been trained. I mean, respond to that.
Well, I agree. I mean, we can't be second-guessing if there's going to be a gun pointed at us. You know, we can't be in the business of if it's real or not. And that's why we need to get these guns off the street. You know, we make split-level decisions out there. And whether it's a plastic gun or a real gun, if it's going to be pointed at us, hopefully we never have to pull the trigger. But, you know, we can't teach our officers not to shoot when there's a firearm being pointed in their direction. This is why we're talking about getting these guns. This is the danger out there, and we can't distinguish. That's the problem, and that's why we need them off the street.
Yeah,
you know, we're on the radio, so you can't see one of these guns. But if you were to hold one or look at one, even at a fairly close range, it is hard to tell that that's not a real gun. And in poor light, at a little bit of distance, which is why, you know, it's a dead. I call it a deadly toy. You really cannot tell the look, the feel, the detail. It looks real.
Right. Well, finally, if we could take a step back for just a second here, because I encountered an editorial in the New York Times that really got me thinking. It was by J. Caspian Kang, and he wrote it last December, and he was talking about, you know, similar proposals in other places to ban these toy guns. And he said that, this is J. Caspian Kang writing, that, quote, a focus on regulation serves to excise the deaths of Tamir Rice, he was that 12-year-old in Ohio, from a larger conversation about race and policing. And in a way, these bans kind of ignore the inevitability of tragedy in neighborhoods where even children at play can be presumed guilty. And Reverend Scott, I was wondering what you think about that.
You know, I think this really comes down to, you know, where I started, right? That there is both an ability, an immediate power that parents have, and really a responsibility that parents have to protect their children. And I think that really is a large part of this conversation. I mean, the incident in South Boston last night, where you were actually talking about it could have been a white child. Who was killed by the police officers. It's the same message. I think the larger issues around race and policing and community and policing are very, very real, and we need to address those. But that's as we know after centuries of working on addressing that and making not a whole lot of progress. I wouldn't wait for that.
Right.
If it was my child, and I have a son, I have a 13-year-old son. So in the case of my son, I'm not going to wait for racial justice until I, do what I can in my own household.
Well, Commissioner Evans, may I just turn the same question to you? I mean, are we at a situation where in some neighborhoods there's a concern that even children at play, quote, can be presumed guilty when holding one of these toy guns?
No, again, like the Reverend said, you know, I don't care what neighborhood it is, you know, we use the same discretion. We know young kids are out there, and if we happen to see a young kid, obviously we're going to think twice about taking any type of enforcement action. I think you've seen it in South Boston. You've seen it with the Harry Staines incident you mentioned. In both cases, we took the gun and we made it a teaching moment for not only the kid but the parent. So
right.
We're not out there to get young kids' criminal records or cause them any harm. We just want to educate them of the dangers of carrying one of these and hopefully get that home and get that message to the parents that they're going to watch out for their kids when they go out at night, that they're not carrying either a real gun or a replica gun.
Well, Bill Evans is the commissioner for Boston, the Boston Police. Commissioner Evans, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you.
And Reverend Mark Scott is the associate pastor at Azusa Christian Community Church. He organized a rally today in order to discourage the sale of toy guns. Reverend Scott, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Stay with us. Coming up, we'll hear from Dava Newman, an MIT professor who once dreamed of being an astronaut. She's now in the number two position at NASA, designing the future of space exploration. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.